This is the Day Zero update for May 28th, 2017. I am Filippo D'Anolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
Oh. Let's try that again.
We don't have Brandon here.
So I'm used to following Brandon.
God damn it.
Oh, that's staying in. Day Zero update for May 28th, 2017. I am Filippo D'Anolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Sologi.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And we're coming to you today on this Memorial Day weekend. Apparently none of us have anything to do, so hey, we may as well do a show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been doing some stuff over the week. Been playing some games, that kind of thing, keeping up on what's been going on. For me, my game playing has been pretty much just the usual crap. Diablo 3, a little bit of Defense Grid 2 thrown in. Went back, started playing Quake 2 again. Yeah, Quake 2 is still awesome. I should point that out, even though it still looks kind of chunky now. If you use the Quake 2 XP port, it actually looks a lot better. So, yeah, if you have a copy of Quake 2 on Steam, download that and then download the Quake 2 XP thing and give it a shot. It makes it look a lot like a modern game now. So, yeah, pretty awesome.
Cool.
So, yeah, but that's kind of irrelevant because something happened this week with Patrick in particular that I didn't think would ever happen.
Yeah, for those who listen to Let's Weekend, we hell has frozen over. I got in on the Overwatch Origins edition for $40 on the flash sale, so that's a thing now. I haven't really played it much since that night, but I'm sure I'll be going back to it here and there, especially because of how well it streams. That first night, though, I was about to sign off, and one of my friends down in Salt Lake messaged me, "Hey, you have Overwatch?" And I didn't end up going to bed until about 6 o'clock, so in the morning.
Starting to get its hooks into you.
Yeah, well, I didn't go back to it yesterday, but
yeah,
I definitely see the appeal.
Yeah, well, Overwatch it really plays better when you're playing with a group of people that you know.
Yeah, it definitely
like
does.
GTA. Yeah,
and I think a lot of the hype that made it so insufferable when it first launched has died down, and that makes it easier for me to get into.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
wow.
It'll be a part of my regular gaming, I think, at least in the short term. Now, maybe next week Tekken 7 will be out, and I'll just forget that Overwatch exists. But for now, yeah, I'm giving it a shot.
You're not giving it a shot the right way. You're playing with these console peasants. You need to get on PC, Pat.
No, if I tried playing this game on PC, my computer would just display a giant middle finger on my screen and then self-destruct.
Very possible. I'm just saying you need to come to the PC Master Race, sir.
No, that's a myth. But other than that,
not for Overwatch, it's not.
Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2 came out yesterday. Or the day before, got in on that. Haven't played as much of it as I would have liked, but I had it kind of downloading while I played Overwatch. Hmm. And so I'll be putting some time into that one, I'm sure. Maybe even streaming it if all goes well. And, of course, Ridge Racers 2 for streaming purposes and YouTube videos. I don't know if it's just been a problem with my timing on streams lately, but haven't yet gotten too much viewership. Hopefully that'll change in time for E3, because I really want this Ridge Racer night that I'm doing to really be a thing.
Yeah, well, when you streamed after the show, I was already dead, so
yeah.
that kind of didn't work out for me. So
yeah,
real quick, not to change the subject on you, Pat, I think you're going to end up sticking with Overwatch, and I'm going to tell you why.
Mm.
You know you can cancel in that game, right? There's combos. Like, it is a fighting game FPS, essentially. Like with Reinhardt, I can actually cancel out of his normal attack, drop a shield. I can do fire strike. Like, you can combo things with certain people. It's ridiculous. That's the thing that's kept me playing.
Genji have anything like that?
He does. I'll show you some. I main Genji and Reinhardt.
Okay.
So, like, there's different stuff you can do. Like, you know his slash where you hit – well, it's shipped on the computer. I don't know what it is for the console. But, like, you can slash up into the air and actually use that as almost like a teleport. So you point yourself to the sky. Like, you can angle yourself. What I do is I angle myself right above somebody when I get my ultimate. Like, if there's a wave of people, what normal people do is they'll just dive in and try to ultimate those guys. Genji's a ninja, so you shoot right above them, activate your ultimate, and drop. And then you can shred an entire team. And, like, it's almost like a crossover in a way. And there's a lot of stuff. Like, and fuck, you can parry with Genji. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's – I don't know. I don't want to buy a console. Shit.
It's on sale right now.
I know. Oh, I know. You guys know I keep up with the Blizzard stuff. So.
But, yeah, I –
$38.99?
Yep.
Damn it, Pat.
Well, no, I got the PS4 version. So.
Oh.
Oh, you got it on PS4?
Xbox One, you would be off on an island.
Yeah. So you got it on PS4?
Yeah.
I have it on PS4 as well. Shit. I want to play that console garbage. Ah.
Well, they got a free weekend, so there's lots of newbies playing.
Yeah.
Well, no, for me, it's
why I got grappled by a Roadhog and then just activated my ultimate and got a free triple kill.
Yeah. See, I'm used to the mouse and keyboard now. So, like, turning in the console version as well. Anyway, we'll figure it out.
I'm already convinced that's the only way to play Tracer, by the way. Because on controller, she doesn't turn fast enough to be, like, teleport, circling around somebody.
Yeah.
Which is the way I would think you would use that.
Oh, not just that. She will teleport in whatever direction she's moving. It's the same thing. You point her at the sky, she'll hop. So there's a lot of depth to that game. There is. So.
And it doesn't even look like all the characters have been revealed yet.
No, they're supposedly working on a couple of more. I'm not a big fan of the loot boxes, though. Actually, that's probably something we should have put in the show notes. Like, Jeff Kaplan commented on the loot boxes because apparently there are so many for the anniversary event. There's no way for anyone to, like, possibly grind them all. And, like, people were talking about the drop rates. Like, I don't buy that kind of stuff, but I did buy. Like, I feel like the value proposition is good enough in Overwatch. Like, they've done a bunch of free maps, free characters, and they're not going to ever do any paid DLC. They said they weren't. So I threw them, like, I think I dropped, like, $40 on loot boxes. Like, well, you know what? I've spent so much on other games. Like, this isn't something I normally do. Let me just do it.
This is something you want to support, then, by all means.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I want to support it, right? So I put down $40, and I think it gives you 50 loot boxes. So that gives you 200 items. Out of the 200 items, 76 were duplicates.
You get currency for that.
You get currency, but the currency exchange rate is terrible. Like, Tracer's got a new skin that's badass. She looks like a graffiti artist. She's got like a gas mask on. It's badass. I got that 5 times. And if you buy that skin with the coins, it's 3K. If you get it as a duplicate or any skin as a duplicate, you get 200 coins. So
yeah, that's valid.
Yeah, that's something that they're going to have to fix. Like, I don't think they're going to do anything like where they stop dupes from happening because then people wouldn't buy into it, you know? But I think they need to definitely up the currency exchange for duplicates because it's not very much. And I think – I don't know if you guys have played any Heroes of the Storm recently, but in Heroes of the Storm with the loot boxes, you can re-roll them with currency. So if you get a loot box and you're like, this is straight garbage, you pay 250 coins – and in Heroes, and then it re-rolls all 4 items.
That's kind of cool.
So I'm hoping that they will do that. But yeah, Jeff Kaplan came out and was like, we've heard your concerns, and I have no action items now. Like, and for anybody who doesn't work in the corporate world, action items, I don't have any action items for you right now, means we aren't doing shit. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Welcome to the fold, Pat.
But yeah, I'm just trying to get to 3,000 coins right now for one of the anniversary skins.
The Genji one?
Yeah.
The Sentai one?
It's just a straight up homage to Kamen Rider Cyclone. Like, it's not even just a passing resemblance. It basically is Cyclone. So, yeah, I want in on that.
That's a good game.
Yeah. So I guess, was that pretty much it, Pat? Or you,
Oh no, I well, we just got off on this.
Overwatch.
But well, no, Guilty Gear Xrd Rev 2, Ridge Racers 2. There's been some GTA 5 in there for streaming purposes. Yeah, that's about it.
Hmm. All right, cool. So how about you, Chris?
Well, I tuned into the ARMS Global Test Punch. We got video up on our YouTube now and on the sites, and it was actually really good. So the mode they have available on that is the party mode, which is kind of just like a lobby mode, which you guys can let me know if it's much different nowadays, but I remember a lot of sort of fighting games when you got into lobby mode, sort of just a, here's a list of people that are next, and sometimes you got to watch the match that's going on.
Yeah, that seems pretty much it.
Yeah, with this, it's just a pool of people, and it just constantly matches you up. It'll throw people into various types of matches, usually one-on-one, two-on-two, and three-ways. And generally, when you get finished with your match, you're sort of in the pool for another match within like 10, 15 seconds. It just tries to just change it up constantly. I was in a volleyball match, in a three-way match, which was my first one, which confused the hell out of me because I thought it was two-on-one. I was like, what the hell is this? Got a two-on-two matches, which are just complete chaos because they're just people on the other team just constantly throwing in their attacks, and it's real hard to tell which ones are which, just trying to figure out when to start throwing stuff, because the way that game works with the arms, depending on whether they're heavy arms, sort of medium arms, or light arms, they can get blocked just from the other person's attack, or override them, or you know, do that sort of stuff. And so when you got two on two, there's four potential attacks coming at your way. Trying to decipher that stuff is just kind of chaos, especially with the map they put all of those ones on that I was in, which is this sort of room where there's sort of a bunch of, I don't know how you describe, like the big regeneration tanks that they usually put in sci-fi movies.
Okay.
When the hero is badly damaged, he gets put in a tank to heal up his body, like in DBZ and all that. And those things block attacks as well. But if you get a throw in, you can throw them through those. And it works really well on the Pro Controller that I've been using. So it's not motion controlled as they've been kind of exclusively showing. I know they had an ARMS event recently with some of the media. And they were kind of telling people that the motion control stuff was the best way to play it, and kind of not letting them play any other way. Yeah. So this is the first real test of the other controls, and it works really well. Like B and A are your left and right attacks for your arms. You got dash and jump. Some characters have a double jump or different kind of dashes, that sort of stuff. You can also use the triggers for attacks as well. And you fill up your meter, you get a special with the R and L shoulder buttons, and that usually is sort of a turbo mode for your attacks, so you can just spam those attacks over and over, get a bunch of hits in. And usually from what I've seen with those matches is that if you don't kill off the person when you do your special, you just set them up to do the same to you and kill them. So there's a nice little back and forth I had with that, where, you know, it's just trying to survive the onslaught, and then, oh, here's my special, you're dead. I did pretty well in the matches. Probably won about half the time. The way it works with, like, two-on-two or three-way matches is that you flick the right stick to decide who you're focusing on. So it's not necessarily, like, a pure third-person kind of control. It's auto locks on for you.
Okay.
Just to simplify things. While you're moving around with the left stick, if you have it pushed in either left or right while you're using your attacks, it sort of curves them. so you're able to put some English on it if you need to do that. And yeah, it's so far really cool. This weekend's probably going to be mostly done with the sessions, but it'll be back next weekend with the same 6 one-hour sessions, same times.
Yeah.
That's definitely something people should be keeping an eye out on. For this beta, they limited it to 3 specific arms per fighter, but they're going to allow you to have them on all fighters.
Okay.
So be able to mix and match. Some are like spread shots. We throw it out, and then it sort of shoots out these 3 like mini fists at the enemy. So it lets you kind of get maybe some smaller, faster attacks in, but they're easily blockable if you if they have a better arm or just purely block. Mm. And yeah, you earn money while you're fighting, so like every match you stay in that lobby, you get an additional bonus for that. I'm guessing at the with the final game, you'll just have that money to spend on unlocking more arms for all your people. That stuff isn't available in the beta yet, but so far that looks like it's going to be a really cool game and sort of do what Splatoon did for shooters on the Switch. Hmm. Sort of offer this casual but really cool and interesting game that most people can pick up. And people should definitely keep an eye on that and check out the beta stuff when it's back next weekend. Hmm. Cool. yeah. Also been playing some Diablo 3. I finished the game with my Season Wizard. And so now I beat up that first chapter's challenges.
Yeah.
Moved on to the second, which a lot of it's like, go beat this boss on harder but or more difficult. And some stuff like that. It's a lot of weird little challenges, but yeah, I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that and seeing how far I can get the stuff going. Though I'm not sure what the rewards really are for that stuff. So it's not really too well explained on that. It makes it seem like it's all just portraits or something like that.
No,
like,
there's portraits, there's pets, there's,
yeah.
You know, other accessory items. There's also some legendaries that you might get, so...
Yeah.
Just a lot of stuff to go for.
Yeah. I do kind of wish they had more Blizzard stuff in that game that you got from owning the other games, because all I have pretty much is the Mercy Wings.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I equip when I first start up any character. It's like, that's the only thing I can do to differentiate, really.
Yeah.
That, like, the 2 pets I have from other events.
Overwatch almost seems like it would be suited to a Tekken or Virtua Fighter style of character customization.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just has the blanket skins, which is fine. But yeah, it'd be nice if you could have, like, change some of the weapons or whatnot into, like, Diablo or StarCraft items.
Yeah.
But yeah, also getting back into Persona 5. I'm still very early in the game. Where am I at? I am at the point where they're investigating the physical abuse from Kamoshida. So still really early in that game. But yeah, liking it a lot. And that game just oozes with style.
Yep. Great soundtrack, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially when it gets to, like, the classic Persona songs. It's like, oh yeah, I know that song a lot. Heard all the time in Persona 4.
Yeah.
But yeah, just waiting for them to sort of let the reins off so I can start doing the combat and all that on my own. Hmm. And yeah, that's kind of it. So how about you, Teresa?
I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14.
Yes, you have.
Also a fair amount of Kingdom New Lands, and doing a few races here and there in Forza Horizon 3. I'm not I'm not done.
Have you done Hot Wheels yet?
No, I didn't get it for Mother's
Day. Oh my God. Teresa. It's fucking awesome.
Here we go.
It's awesome. So cool.
Like, my son has been getting into the photo mode. I'll have to share some photos with you guys. Like, he took a picture of this Lambo that we bought, like, sitting on the beach next to the Hot Wheel tracks. There's a big fucking ring of fire and a loop-de-loop, and just, oh, it's awesome. It's so fucking awesome. It is the best racing expansion I have ever fucking seen. And it is like, me and my son, like, as soon as we hit the loop-de-loop in a fucking Lamborghini, you're like, oh, this is awesome. It's totally worth the money. You've got to buy it.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I had requested it, and it didn't happen for Mother's Day, but that's okay. Other things happen, so.
Yeah.
Yep, it's going to happen this summer, that's for sure. But, it's been fun. Entirely too much Final Fantasy XIV, though. So,
no such thing.
No, there's really not. There's going to be more. So, yeah, it's a lot, but probably not a ton to talk about. I think I streamed like 4 hours of me fishing last night and this morning. That's fairly boring. I didn't get very many views.
I don't know if you heard, there's a good game on the PC called Overwatch.
Yeah, I played it on Xbox. Now my PC can't handle it.
Oh
my PC
God.
Couldn't handle Forza Horizon. It would.
Peasant
is me.
I know. You know what?
Wait a minute. How can you guys play Final Fantasy XIV, but you can't play Overwatch?
Final Fantasy XIV doesn't tax it like Overwatch. Or no, I didn't try Overwatch like Forza does.
Well, now Forza I can understand on PC because that game is optimized like a piece of shit. But I can't understand how you guys couldn't play Overwatch if you're playing Final Fantasy. That's weird to me.
Well, I can play Overwatch.
I'm not playing Final Fantasy XIV on PC.
Pat, I don't need the details. You're asking for it.
The reason I don't play Overwatch on PC is because I take my happy ass down to the library and borrow it on Xbox from the library.
You're playing for free. That's
all right. Fair enough. I'm not even mad.
I'm paying for taxes.
I'm not even mad. All right. Fair enough. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just going
to. First of all,
it's amazing to me that I'm the guy that turned into the fucking PC guy.
It is kind of
still
funny.
After all these years, like, even when my friends are like, man, you need to play everything on Steam, man. I'm like, fuck that. I got a 65-inch TV, and I'm playing everything on PC.
That's what I use.
I should hook the computer up to my TV.
You don't have it hooked up to the TV?
No, I know what it is, because I got a G-Sync monitor.
Okay.
So, like, I'm digging right in. PC Master Race. God, I'm an asshole. Anyway.
Now that's really about it for me. So what have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing a couple things. I have been I've been raging against Breath of the Wild. I have not experienced a more frustrating game in ages. And I think I've probably put like 20 hours into it now. So like the very beginning is awful. I don't care what anybody says. All of you guys are wrong. The beginning of that game is fucking garbage. And it's garbage because of – first of all, I don't like tutorials, right? Like I don't like – I'm not a big fan of the way Zelda has done it over like the last three or four games where it's like you don't even get into the way the game works for like 5 or 10 hours. That pisses me off. So I appreciate the fact that they didn't do that with this. They just – but in a way they still did. Like the Great Plateau is it's similar to White Orchard from Witcher 3, where like everything that you're going to do in the game happens in this small space, and then they let you out in the world. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But what has frustrated me about it is one of the things that I have looked forward to, and I guess is the hook for me with Zelda is dungeons. And of course, I know we have the Divine Beast, so those are sort of dungeons, and then you have all the shrines, and I've enjoyed doing those, but. I have not enjoyed the fact that by the time I finish the dungeon, I don't get something like neat. Like I don't get a hook shot or something. Now maybe I will later, but so that bothers me. And I feel like that's a deviation from the formula that they should not have made. And then that kind of leads me into my second problem with the game, is that I'm in the fucking menu system so much that this is, might as well be called Breath of the Menu System, because, or Breath of the Inventory Screen. I cannot stand durability bullshit in games. Like, talking about being Mr. PC Master Race now, I will mod that out of games if they give me the opportunity to. I want my time to play things is so limited. I don't want it to be held back even further by having to dive into an inventory screen or whatever. Like, and my son, my poor son, he loves this game. And he's been playing it on the Wii U, so he's been watching me play it, right? So every time I get something new, it'd be like, inventory full. Fuck you! Like, and I actually went around and collected like 25 Korok seeds to increase my inventory. But then you know what dickhead Nintendo does? Is the first upgrade is like a seed, then it's 2, then it's 4, then it's 6, then it's 12. And it's like, really? Really, Nintendo? Fuck you. So the big thing that I always see everybody talk about, and in that we had a Facebook conversation where I offended Chris, apparently.
No, you didn't.
Okay. Well, Dan Reb and I were going back and forth, and he was like, well, if you don't want to do something, don't go do it. And that's totally legit. And what was interesting about him saying that sort of comprises the entire issue that I have with Zelda. There is so much of it to do. And then Nintendo gets in your way with the way that they design the game, with the inventory system, with shit breaking and all that. I understand some people don't have a problem with that. I have a huge fucking problem with it. So, like, when I'm not, like, doing combat or anything and I'm just exploring and doing, like, the shrines and things like that, the game is phenomenal. I love it. Like, when it clicks, it really clicks. Like, when I did the first Divine Beast, I was like, this is fucking crazy. Like, this is, like... You feel to a certain extent like Breath of the Wild is everything that they always wanted Zelda to be, you know? But I'm also, as somebody who really digs into the mechanics of the games that I'm playing, just because of having a background of being, you know, hardcore into fighting games.
Yeah.
What the combat is fucking straight garbage. It's absolute ass. The control scheme is absolute ass. And like, I know you can remap the jump button, but for fuck's sake, the fact that they put the jump button on the X button is like, who fucking does this? Like, and it's all of the things that we've said over the years on this show is the whole, like, Nintendo going to be Nintendo is also personified in this game, because there's so many things that other open world games do better than this one does. And I feel like a lot of people gave some of that stuff a pass because Zelda is the title. But with the mechanics thing, like, Wind Waker's combat was better than Breath of the Wild. And Wind Waker came out, what, almost 20 years ago? No. Like 15?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah. So so I feel like and I feel like looking at the nuts and bolts of the game, they realize that. And that's why, to a certain extent, the game cheeses the fuck out of you, where you can just run across enemies. Like, like I read multiple reviews about this too and look at different opinions just to make sure I wasn't nuts. And I'm not nuts, by the way. I'm right. The biggest thing that I saw from people is I've seen the game over screen more in this game than anything else. And that, to me, is almost like SNK boss syndrome, because you run into things and they just one-shot you. And so the only way to really deal with that, because the mechanics, like the combat and stuff, is not complicated. You are hamstrung by the way that Link moves, and he moves like a drunk tank. So I think they realized that they couldn't design more satisfying combat for whatever reason, or it wasn't something that they cared about, because the AI is simplistic as shit. It's just overpowered to a certain extent. Like, I think I've got like 10 or 12 heart containers and shit's still one-shotting me. Why the fuck should I even have heart containers then? Just make it a fucking one-hit game, because that's what you did, you know? And I get that they wanted to...
How's your gear?
My gear is good. I've upgraded it through 2 fairies. I don't know what level they are. I don't have the Switch in front of me. And then just like little shit, like, oh, eat food to go on a mountain. Like, well, thank God I finally got a tunic that actually, you know, has – I got the Columbia coat or whatever the fuck they gave him, so I can get on a fucking mountain.
North
like,
Face.
Yeah, but that's the thing. And it's so interesting to me, because that kind of stuff that I've seen people criticize other open world games for, nobody did for Zelda. And it's perplexing to me. So, but anyway, I'm going to stick with it. For the stuff that does click, it's absolutely insane and I love it. But for the other stuff that doesn't, it strikes me as amateur hour, which is really crazy to me. But anyway, and of course, Overwatch And I've been doing Fire Emblem Fates, just kind of slowly going through that.
Nice.
Which is still, you know, that's still a lot of fun. I love, everyone has feet. I love it. that's the biggest thing. Every time I see, like, any type of cinematic, I'm like, look at those toes. That's amazing. I'm doing the...
After Awakening, it's not something you take for granted.
No, it's not. And I, you know what? I do like one of the changes that they made. I like that the weapons don't break. Right? Yeah. You see a theme here? But in a game like Overwatch, or not Overwatch, but in a game like Fire Emblem, that's something that's come to expect. That was in the game from the beginning, you know? But with Zelda, like, I can't believe that the fucking Master Sword needs a timeout. Like, that's insane. But anyway. But yeah, like... But
I have a theory about why that's the case, but
we've got
a podcast coming up.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I'm playing more Nintendo software right now than I've ever played in a long time, like concurrently. So, I don't know about you guys, but like, I don't like playing Zelda in handheld mode. And maybe it's just because like I play in bed, but like holding the Switch up in bed is really uncomfortable. But I will say, and I got to give Nintendo props for this. I feel like besides Wind Waker, every Zelda game, really, I think, like with from Ocarina of Time on, with the exception of Wind Waker, I think has actually been kind of ugly. And you know, I have a 4K TV, so I you know, certain things in Zelda look blown out, but I'm still taken aback by how beautiful the game is, like the use of flat color, particularly, and like the pastels and things like that. It is gorgeous, and then. Like when I actually put it back, I was in Zora's Domain, and Zora's Domain is beautiful by itself, right? But when, but of course, you know, again on a 4K TV, I mean, those textures are going to look bigger than they should. But then I played it on the tablet, because that was really the first time I played it on the tablet that way, because my wife wanted to watch TV, so I took it out and I was playing on it, and I was taken aback by how clear everything was, which every Zelda game, like I said, with the exception of Wind Waker, has been a blurry, shitty mess that's been on a mainline console. Skyward Sword looked like shit. Twilight Princess before the remake looked like shit, especially if you played it on an HD screen. Wind Waker looked good. And then, of course, Wind Waker HD looks fantastic. Ocarina of Time looked like shit. Majora's Mask looked like shit. Everything, cloudy, muddy textures, all that stuff.
And those two games have not aged well at all.
No, they haven't. Even like, and if you look at the 3D remake of Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, they look much better. But that was the thing that I was taken aback by. They did touch them up, right. But that was the thing that I was taken aback by with Breath of the Wild, is that how clear it looked on the Switch. And that's sort of like wiping Vaseline off the screen, right? Like, because even if you go back to look at the 3DS, I mean, and that's the thing that's sort of mind-boggling, because Nintendo's assets always look good. Like, if you run anything emulated for Nintendo and you clean it up, the shit looks great. And so it's always – their games, to a certain extent, have always been hampered by the technology that they're putting them on. And this is the first time I haven't felt like that since Wind Waker, and I was astonished just running through Zora's Domain, even obviously going from a 65-inch screen to like a, what is it? Is it 6 inches as a Switch? Yeah. So losing 60 inches, which is, I know, is a big problem for the ladies. I don't know what that means. But losing 60 inches and still having that complete clarity from a Nintendo system was revelatory. I was blown away. So anyway, the game sucks and it's great.
Okay. All right. So I guess we'll go on from
there.
The game sucks. It's great. So,
it does. It's like sweet and sour chicken of a video game. It sucks, but it's awesome.
Okay, so we'll start off with some rumors. Sony allegedly working on either a PS Vita 2 or a new handheld yet to be named.
This seems to come out of China, so E3. That's as far as I go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't trust anything coming out of China.
Well, not all Chinese people are evil, so...
Right?
No, but in relation to technology...
Wow.
How many fake consoles do they have over there?
Yeah, that's true. They do have a lot of fake consoles over there, so... Yeah. A lot of fake everything over there, so...
Like, oh, here's an Android phone that looks exactly like a Vita.
Oh, I mean, if they're going to get crazy with it, I want to see somebody bring out an update. What was the Nokia? What was that thing, the N-Gage? Get some more side talking going on. We need that.
I want to say there probably have been Chinese engages that worked a lot better.
Probably. Engage, right, I'm sure.
So, what do we know about this? Not a whole hell of a lot.
Well, it's getting close to E3, and that's when these sorts of stories start to emerge. If this does happen and it's a PS4 hybrid, I think that would be the smartest way to go.
Yeah, I agree. The Switch set the stage for, I think, now what the expectation is for people. And Sony's problem with the Vita, as far as support, has been that they took Tier 1 franchises and treated them like Tier 2 bullshit for the most part. And so I think if they could do something where they could create a PS4 version that would play on, you know, Vita 2 or what – I don't even know what the fuck they would call it.
Yeah. But
I think that's the best route to go because
– Call the PS4 anywhere?
Yeah, because when you split that base of people and not just people, developers at that point. You know, when you're splitting the developers up and you're going, you have a choice to make a portable game or you have a choice to make a PS4 game, especially if it's an American developer, they're going to be like, fuck the portable. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I don't know how you would even technically manage to do that.
I don't know how you would either. That's a lot of data.
Yeah.
It might have to be a little further down the down this particular generation.
Yeah, maybe.
Because even just from the storage capability, like, what would you do? Like, we know Sony likes to charge an ass load for memory cards. Could you imagine if you had to get a 256 gig Sony branded memory card and it's only going to fit 5 games because the Blu-rays are $50, yeah. You know? So, I mean, I could see them doing some sort of thing like where the textures are different, you know, like doing like a 720 screen or something like that, or even like a 1080 screen. But, you know, because of the size, you know, the textures, they have a Vita pack, kind of like how you do when you're modding PC games. You have an ultra high res texture pack, and then they could do a texture pack for the portables. Like, I could see that being an option. Yeah. And that would be easy for developers to implement.
And they're already doing something similar in the opposite direction with the Pro.
Yeah. So
yeah, well,
I don't know that would hurt development that much.
The Pro is a little bit different as, the CPU does get a bit of an overclock, but there's also an extra half of a GPU in there. So
yeah,
that's another thing.
What I'm saying is that they're just putting in another set of resources for the new hardware.
Yeah. My only concern about that is if you're going to be doing a PS4 hybrid type system and you're going to be scaling it down for the portable, you also need to be able to hit the PS4's base.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you get that in a portable form without it just being a fucking heat machine.
Yeah, I mean, PS4 well, shit, the, still.
So. Like I said, it'd probably Switch have to be further down machine. The generation.
So, yeah, I don't think – I think at this point with Nintendo essentially kind of throwing down the gauntlet with the Switch, I'm very skeptical about portables going forward that are passively cooled. I just don't – I don't see that being possible. Like, I mean, when I play the Switch, even in dock mode – in dock mode, it gets hot. I play it in the – when I play Zelda on just with the tablet – I'm still kind of surprised at how warm it is. So, I think if anybody does any portables in the future, they're going to have a fan. I think the days of passive cooling, especially if you're going over some sort of parity like between the systems, like what we're talking about, I don't think passively cooled system is something that's going to work anymore.
Yeah, because I mean, I did a little digging on what the PS4 power consumption is.
It's like 95 watts, isn't it?
It's 80 watt idle for the regular PS4.
Yeah.
Up to 140 watts during gameplay.
Jesus.
PS4 Slim drops that down quite a bit. It's during gameplay it drops down to about 110 watts and idles at around 50. That's still 50 watts is still a lot.
A lot of heat. That's a lot of heat.
Yeah. So
I mean, I gotta say though, if there's gonna be anybody that would do it, as far as like the way that they miniaturize their stuff, Sony is off the chain when it comes to that. I mean, God, do you guys remember the first PlayStation 2 to then the PS, you know, TWO?
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit.
Yep.
You know,
and they still
I got two of them right here.
Yeah,
and that fucker doesn't put off any heat.
Nope.
Whereas the other one was the other one was a fucking, at least for me, it made my fucking living room hot.
Yeah, my PS4 is a space heater too.
Yeah, I got a space heater as well. I'm thinking about maybe getting a Pro, but I don't know.
I'm not doing that. You know, that if I'm going to do any upgrade path for me, I'm going to do the Scorpio.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that one as well.
But just because, and the only reason I'm saying that is because I feel like Sony half-assed the Pro. Like, I feel like they just thought, well, we need to put something out, and they didn't put any actual thought into what the fuck they were doing. Like, and like the lack of a fucking 4K Blu-ray drive is comical to me, considering what they did with the PS2 and the PS3.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, fine with it. I don't want to upgrade my Blu-rays any more than I did from DVD to Blu-ray. Just that was mostly because, I just got everything sub $10. So it costs
I think that's legit, but there's no reason not to have it. Is the thing like?
What else? I think if you want to pay $450 instead of $400 for
it, I think that's a fallacy because Microsoft did it for $299 with the Xbox One X.
They can do that.
Well, like
what does that even mean? They can do that. Sony can't too. Sony owns the UHD format.
Let you.
But Sony owns the UHD format. They're not.
They don't. They don't own it. They're in a group of other companies.
Yes, and they own. They don't own it themselves. They don't have to pay a fee for it. So saying that it would increase the price by $50
the other companies as well as themselves.
So what's the logic behind them adding $50 to the price, but then Microsoft was able to do it for $299?
Because Microsoft is selling anything.
Right. So Sony can't for something like that?
No, because they're not exactly great on their financials. They need to be very price conscious. That's why they went for a slight bump in a lot of their specs and devised ways to do the 4K through the checkerboard stuff so that they can sort of cheat it as best they can for something that's good enough, but it's not going to be like the full 4K that Microsoft is at least trying to go for.
And that's something else that is crazy to me because they added HDR, but you won't let it play fucking Blu-rays that are UHD.
Because they apparently figured out a way to do it that nobody else in the industry knows how to do. Microsoft was stunned by that. Like, well, we're going to wait for them to release it so we can figure out what the hell they did.
Actually, I know exactly what they did. And to get HDR on the PS4 and do it via a firmware update, one of their strange design decisions that they made early on was to not output the video through the AMD APU's HDMI. Instead, what they did was routed it through the APU's display port, which then gets converted to HDMI. That is updatable. That's how they did it. Even it seems like it would be kind of weird to do it to not output directly through the CPU's own HDMI output. But in this case, it actually worked out for them because they were able to add HDR that way.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I just think it's crazy to me for Sony to have led DVD adoption and to have led Blu-ray adoption to then walk away from that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I understand
just
the point, Chris,
saying that Blu-ray is good enough.
But it's
not.
Most
people aren't going to bother with 4K.
But that's the problem. If they're trying to make a system that can also output 4K, but then they're saying 1080p is good enough. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm saying they're thinking that people don't give a shit about the difference between a 1080p Blu-ray and a 4K Blu-ray.
Right, and I can understand that, but if the argument is nobody gives a shit about resolution, then why are they fucking trying to target 4K in the first place?
They don't give a shit about resolution. They just can't tell the difference enough to give a shit about paying extra for the 4K.
Which then goes back to my same question, though. If they don't give a fuck, if they don't know the difference, why buy a Pro in the first place?
Yeah,
because they recognize there's an audience for that as far as gaming-wise.
But then give them the bells and whistles that they would expect with something that does 4K doesn't make sense.
I mean,
it's like buying
4K video through all the streaming services that support it.
Yeah, but 4K video, like streaming 4K does not – if streaming 4K is at the equivalent of 1080p on a Blu-ray. But it's to me, it's like, okay, we're going to sell you a Ferrari, but then you can only go 35 miles an hour.
I don't know what you're watching, because my 4K streaming looks far, far better than our Blu-rays.
Maybe you need to fuck with your calibration, darling, because we have 4K over here.
No, no. No, yeah. I have a fucking, he is insane picky about image quality, and he's an aficionado.
Yeah, no, I am too. So, I mean, the thing is for me, when we look at everything that we have calibrated here, because we still have a 1080p TV up and we still have our 4K downstairs, at least as far as Netflix and everything else like that, even with stuff that's HDR enabled, we still see artifacting and everything. And at first I was like, well, maybe it's my connection speed, but we have a 100 meg connection. So, but we did a comparison test with like Daredevil, because we have Daredevil on Blu-ray, and then we have it on 4K streaming with Netflix. It looks the same. It's ridiculous. Now, if you do one of Netflix's like 4K streams, like that waterfall and all that other bullshit, that stuff looks insane. But like normal, because most of this is a different conversation for the podcast in general, but most everything that's videotaped anyway is at 2K and they're up-resing it to 4K. So, but that's a different story entirely. But to the point is, I just don't understand, if you're going to put out a system that targets 4K and everything else like that, why you then wouldn't give people the ability to do playback. And I don't believe that money is the reason, because it doesn't cost Sony anything. That doesn't make any sense.
Personally, you know, for me, the PS4 Pro, not including at least the UHD Blu-ray, is kind of a mistake.
That's why I haven't
bought it. I agree with you there, especially because it would have benefits for games as well.
Yep.
Going from a 50 to 100 gig disc means you can have larger games and not have to have that install from the disc and then download 60 more gigabytes of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's a lot more benefits than just being able to watch the movie, and that's the thing that I don't understand, and it just doesn't – it rings hollow to me, as it being a price issue, because we know they're making money off of the PS4, and we know money off of the Pro.
So how would you allow those people to install to a regular PS4 with those discs? If it has 100 gigs of data, would it be the same thing if they don't have the HD Blu-ray?
Actually, that's a good point.
That is a good point, yeah.
Is it not backwards compatible that way?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know.
Because you've got 40, at least 40 million of those things out there.
Yeah, the UHD discs would not be readable in the other drive because it's a different laser.
Yeah. So that's fair.
Hmm. And then,
it's not going to touch gaming anyway.
Yeah,
that seems like the best way. So you're purely using it for movies, and as far as I've seen, I'm obviously not on the inside of the industry checking the sales or anything, but just looking at it from the outside, doesn't seem like that stuff is necessarily pushing sales on at Blue.
I don't think anything is. I mean, like any type of format now in general seems to have an adoption problem. But like, at least for me, looking at it from like the standpoint of a regular consumer, like all we did is now we just, anything we're going to buy on Blu-ray, we buy on 4K because the price difference is like $3, and then we get the Blu-ray anyway. Mm. So it just seemed like one of those things, like to me, like on paper, if the whole point is to get people into doing stuff that's 4K and you're taking advantage of the fact that these people have a 4K TV and HDR and everything else like that, especially considering Sony's position with the PS2 as far as the adoption of DVDs, and then the PS3 with Blu-rays. Like, the PS3 is still a monster Blu-ray player. Especially at the time when they brought it out, and people were still trying to figure out codecs and everything else like that and how they were going to do it. The fact that people were able to buy regular Blu-ray players that then became obsolete, or they could buy a PlayStation 3 and then know they were going to be able to get the DTS and everything else like that when they were figuring out their codecs for fucking HD. The fact that you could buy a fucking PlayStation, that was how we justified buying ours. Mm-hmm. Was like, well, we're going to play the games anyway, but then we're going to buy a Blu-ray player. Why do that when we can just buy a fucking PS3 and then we don't have to worry about this thing going obsolete in 2 years because the industry hasn't figured out what the fuck they're doing? Like, you can even look at that now with HDR, because they can patch that in because they have Dolby's version of HDR and then, what is it, HDR10 that everybody else is using right now. And we know that that's upgradable through firmware. Yeah. So that's just one of those things that just strikes me as just a strange decision, and I truly don't believe that it's a monetary thing, or maybe it was in the sense that
I think it's probably a combination of both,
or a profit. Yeah,
I think it's probably partly interest and partly monetary.
Yeah,
because I think if obviously you can't apply it to the games, which is sort of the major part of the Pro, is you're going to get better looking games and performance.
Yeah.
Not having the storage to go with it is not a great deal, so that's why they probably went for more of a cheaper system with the checkerboard rendering and all that, so they can cheat it as best they can. Mm. So it looks as good, but it's still affordable.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was talking about in the beginning. Like, if I'm going to do any of the upgrade paths as far as systems go, I'm going to do Scorpio because, especially if, you know, of course it's going to be more powerful, whatever the case may be. But the fact that then I have a box that's going to do more than just play video games that's a big thing for me and my family. So, so that's why that, like, because we have two Xboxes right now. When they finally announce Scorpio and all that crap, unless it's just absurd, I'll trade in one of the Xboxes, put the S upstairs, and then put the Scorpio down here and use it as part of my entertainment center, because that's how we watch the UHD Blu-rays now.
Yeah.
So, and that was the deciding factor for me between getting an S, because we need to get a new Xbox anyway because of my son. But it was, do I want to just move the Xbox upstairs, or do we want to get an S, or do we want to get a Pro? Because at first I have way more PS4 games than I do Xbox One games, but it was like, it also does this other thing, and we use our TV for a lot more than just video gaming. So that ended up being a big thing. And so at least for people like me, and I realize I'm probably not the norm, that seemed like a mistake.
Yeah.
For me, like Scorpio, looking at that, it's mainly for the performance improvements on games. Because there are lots of issues. And things like Defense Grid 2 on Xbox One loads way slower than on PS4.
Yeah, and in a way, really Scorpio is unfucking the situation. It's permanent, like
the dashboard can't get any worse with extra performance.
Right.
I can't imagine that's going to happen.
Right, exactly.
And for me, like media-wise, I'm the guy that just uses the ultraviolet code and streams the movie from Vudu.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to fucking put the disc in and have to occupy whatever game is in there, sort of displace that. Because I am that person.
So were you the kind of person in the PlayStation 1 era when something came with multiple discs, you were like, fuck this? Because the rest of us were like, there's four discs. Do you know how much game there is here?
I didn't play that many games that were multi-disc.
Oh, okay.
I played fucking Madden, Triple Play, and all that shit.
Yeah.
That was one disc at a time. Well, Pat
and Teresa know what I'm talking about. When we were at Final Fantasy, Fantasy VIII, it was like, four discs.
That's just more cases to break.
Oh my
more
God.
Of the case. I can't tell you how many PS1 cases I have that are just barely holding apart together. It's like, no, you don't open that case like a normal case. You have to just pull the front off, like it's a box.
Yeah,
struggle is real.
Yeah, it was the memory cards back then that was the major problem. Because it's like, okay, here's the memory card for Madden because it takes up the whole card. Here's the whole card for Triple Play because that takes 15 blocks. That was the worst back then. That's the memory card was the whole disc thing that I have now.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, anyway, Vita 2. Let's hope Vita just whatever 2, they do, if it's a scaled down PS4, great. Just make it use SD cards.
Yeah. SD cards, easy.
Don't fuck this
Nintendo
up.
Nintendo learned their lesson. I'm pretty sure Sony.
Yeah, I think hopefully everyone learned their lesson, including Sony.
Yeah. Speaking of Nintendo,
and hacked consoles.
This pisses me off.
So they've started banning hacked 3DSs from the Nintendo services.
Which is weird, because isn't that status quo for them anyway?
Yeah, I mean, it just took them a while to get around to this.
Yeah.
A long while.
I understand. I just want to be clear about that. I understand why Nintendo would do this. However, I do not remotely agree with it. And the reason that I don't is that at least I feel like we have a right to do whatever the fuck we want with hardware that we buy.
Do you have the right to do that with services you don't own?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I do. I can do it with an iPhone. You guys can do it with an Android. Yes.
Well, and I mean, you can access services you don't obviously own.
Yeah, but okay. I don't own a cellular networks, but if I'm doing something that Apple or someone else doesn't think is okay on my phone, it's none of their fucking business. Now, I understand Nintendo's point, like if you're out there and you're just like, I'm just going to pirate the fuck out of some software,
Like, I get that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But adjusting, we'll call it adjusting, fucking with the system so that you can do things that the system can natively do. Like, I talked to you guys about hacking it to play GBA games. The system can natively do that, and I own that software. The fact that they haven't made it available to someone is whatever. I look at it the same way with, like, again, I used to be in the cellular industry, so – but like back when Apple introduced the iPhone, then they did the 3GS. Mm-hmm. At first, they didn't do video, so people were hacking their iPhones because they knew they could get them to do video. It's just that Apple didn't let them do it, and it strikes me as sort of a similar thing here. Now and again, I get Nintendo wants to protect, like, because frankly, some of the shit that you can do with a hacked 3DS is fucked up. But it's and this is gonna sound like such a dick thing, but Nintendo's problem with the 3DS and piracy is because Nintendo is stupid. Like, the way that you steal games on the 3DS is there's basically a hashtag associated with them. And it's through a ticketing system. And so basically when you log into their server, you can spoof their system and tell the system that you own a legitimate copy of a game. That's what people do when they hack those systems. They have this program called Free Shop. And basically what it does is it generates a fake ticket that then lets you download shit from the eShop. And so you can have it for free. If Nintendo did not have that glaring vulnerability, people wouldn't be hacking their systems in the first fucking place. And that goes back to the fact that Nintendo is still operating like this is 2003 and the internet just sort of showed up. And all you could really do on it is, like, what was it? Look at Slashdot and possibly take 3 years to download a fucking 2 meg GIF. You know, like, that's what they're behaving like. And they've always been like this. But and instead of fixing what the actual problem is, which I think they don't know how to do, they've just continued on this course of we will just punish people that are smarter than we are. And – again, I understand they have a right to protect their copyrights. I don't pirate games. That's not what I'm into. Everything that I own, anything that I put on a hacked system or anything else like that, I have a physical copy of. Like, I am not that dude who's going to go out and steal shit. I don't pirate movies. I don't pirate music. I don't do any of that stuff. But I do have a huge problem with a fucking company telling me what I can or can't do with hardware that I bought from them. It strikes me as incredible overreach in the same way that we had an issue with it when Sony started yanking BC out of consoles. They did that shit with what was the Silent Hill game?
PT.
And just the idea that a company can go in and turn off a functionality that you have because they don't like what you did with your console is ridiculous. That would be like Ford making my car stop working because I decided one day I wanted to do 80 on the highway and they didn't like that. Like, it's my business what I do with what I own. And there doesn't seem to be any real rhyme or reason. Like, I browse the forums and shit like that. Look, because I don't even know if my 3DSs are banned. Here's the other part of this, though, and I don't know if that article that you linked covers it. People can still get on the eShop, and they can still buy shit. Yeah. So Nintendo's like, we're going to cut you off, but you can still give us money, which is fucking crazy. Like, and it just – and again, it just goes to the vulnerability of the eShop as a whole with the way that – because think about it. Like if any of you guys own your 3DS, I don't know if any of you ever lost one or had it stolen.
No.
Do you know what happens when you do – if that happens?
You're fucked.
You have two. That's step one is you're fucked. But step two is you actually have to call Nintendo and prove that you own the Nintendo ID and all this stuff, and they will reissue those tickets for you so you can download those games. And that's an if. It's a 50-50 chance. Like, my son had his 3DS stolen, and we had to go through that. That process took 4 weeks. Now, what kind of world would we live in if there was a thing like an account system where if you just got a new console, you could just re-download whatever you own? I know that sounds crazy. And it must be a far-off dream for a bunch of companies to do something like that. Because obviously Nintendo doesn't realize that that happens with every fucking thing else. But
I think the Switch is account-based now, so we'll have to wait.
Well, I think they're all account-based. They just tie to the hardware.
They tie to the hardware.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't disassociate it with the hardware so you can put it on something else.
Yeah, yeah. Which but is I don't a pain. Think the Switch is tied to hardware. I think
so. When you lose the hardware, you lose your account with it,
which is bullshit. And it's
or
just,
if
it's,
you have
it's,
two copies of hardware, you've got an issue there. You can't use the same. Well, you used to not be able to use the same Nintendo ID.
Yeah. I mean, it's just Nintendo. All of this is happening because Nintendo is operating from an archaic place, and them banning these consoles. And again, I get it, man. This is we saw this with the DS too with flashcards. Like people want to steal shit, and I understand that they want to protect themselves. But I have a huge fucking problem if you fuck with the functionality of a device that I bought and I did whatever I wanted with it. I have a huge fucking problem with that. And Nintendo, I think, is finding themselves in these situations where a lot of times people are doing these hacks to their system. Or, like, look at these Amiibo cards, that shit that's going on. All this stuff is happening because Nintendo is not providing for a need that their consumers are saying that they want. They did it with the NES Classic. If you guys go on right now online and you Google Zelda Amiibo cards, you can find thousands of people that are selling Amiibo cards that will work with Breath of the Wild for $5 because they don't want to go out and pay $60 for a fucking Amiibo that Nintendo doesn't want to produce anymore. When you look at like the GBA stuff and the Super Nintendo VC that people have wanted Nintendo to do for years on the 3DS, so Nintendo didn't provide, so people circumvented it, you know? And Nintendo has got this horrible fucking problem with recognizing what its consumers want and providing it. And we've seen it with the account system. We've seen it with Amiibos. We've seen it with pretty much everything that they've done for the last 7 years. So for them to kind of, you know, snap back in this way really strikes me as missing the point in the first place. And again, I get it. You want to protect your intellectual property? I'm not mad at you. You guys got to make money too. But like with – I'll give you an example. With the iPhone, I kept my iPhone jailbroken until iOS 10. And the only reason that I did was because iOS 10 finally put in that night shift mode that changes the color of the screen. And previously I used – and I cannot remember what the name of the program was. Flux, yes.
Yep.
I had my iPhone hacked for years, all of the ones that I've owned, because of Flux. That was the only fucking reason, because Apple would not provide that option for me that I wanted. So that's why I hacked it. And they finally did. I don't have a jailbroken iPhone anymore. So this is one of those things that like I – now, of course, there are going to be scumbags that are just going to hack their shit to hack their shit. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like there's a ton of people, at least the ones that I've talked to, that have hacked their system because they want to do – they want to play old GBA games and things like that that we know the system can do because of the ambassador program, but Nintendo doesn't want to do it. So
yeah, I have those on mine, and it never made any sense why they wouldn't sell those like everything else, because – and I heard people like, oh, but it doesn't actually go into standby when you close. Like, nobody gives a shit. Look at Hyrule Warriors on the regular 3DS. It runs like shit because Nintendo doesn't give a damn about how it runs. They just want the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they don't apparently want the GBA money that bad. They got to sell it on the Wii U.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's obvious that they want the money, but they're not taking the steps to go out. But instead, their actions seem to be designed around nickel and diming their own customers. When I mean, because you know they want you to have bought, or well, no, I think to a certain extent, when you look at like having an account-based system, the fact that it's taken us so long, I think it's because they didn't want to pay for the infrastructure and they wanted to nickel and dime people. They want you to buy Super Mario Brothers for the 8th fucking time.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying not putting GBA games on sales, not nickel and dime.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, what I'm talking about in the overall sense of things, like one of the reasons they're not providing the account system and everything else like that is because they want to continue to have that be a revenue stream. They don't make money if you finally permanently own the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
It's just like buying Star Wars 5 different times on DVD because they're not going to give you the version you want.
Yep. Or even to that point with Star Wars with digital. Every Blu-ray nowadays comes with a fucking digital copy. Star Wars didn't. They wanted to sell you the digital copies of the movies for $60.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, Nintendo sucks. I fucking hate them, and I hate Breath of the Wild, but it's great.
Yeah. Well, the thing with Nintendo at this point is, and 3DS in particular, is they built it with that architecture in mind, and now they're going to have to really do some reevaluation if they're going to continue to, you know, support it. This ban here is kind of like a first step, I think, just trying to block people from getting on the services. But in the end, it's going to require a complete overhaul of their online services. I think with the Switch, they're probably going in that direction. I think that at some point the 3DS will be updated and it will jump on board with that the new system.
It just makes me wonder what they thought their end game was. Like, did they just think an account system was not going to be in their future, or having to fix this down the line was just not going to be in their future? Like, if we just ignore it, people will not notice that we don't have an account system.
And if you remember, the 3DS launched without an eShop. Didn't come out till a few months later.
Yeah, that just kind of got glommed onto it.
Yeah.
You know,
it took them a while just to put, like, retail games on it, too.
Yeah.
God, Nintendo sucks.
I think with Nintendo having purchased DNA, I think they're very well aware that they do need to go in that direction. They didn't actually purchase, but they, you know, partnered.
Deeply involved with them.
Yeah. So, yeah. DNA understands how to do online infrastructure. So, and we're starting to see some of that with the Switch. They're not. I mean, let's be honest here. The Switch, as it is right now, as far as online services goes, is not ready. It's basically beta. Like, the basic stuff is there, but and yet there's like weird stuff that you think should be there but isn't. So yeah.
Whenever I try the global test punches and all that, the beta stuff, it forgets that I had the system connected to a hotspot. So I had to like restart the system and reconnect to the hotspot. It's like, oh, wait, you're online?
Oh,
yeah. Oh, now you want to use it. Okay. Yeah.
So hopefully they'll figure it out. Anyways, so we'll move on to this next story here, because I know that Lee wants to talk about this a bit. Far Cry 5.
And then I gotta go.
Yeah, so Far Cry 5 was announced for PS4, Xbox One, PC, coming out February 27th next year. Some trailers and details have come out, and that's led to some very intriguing discussions.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, and this will be the comment that I'm gonna make, and then I do gotta bounce, I apologize, but I am fascinated and kind of bothered by the fact that the main – so we've seen this start to happen in media over the last few years, is that extremism has sort of become the villain for media in general. Like, you know, when we were all growing up in the 80s, you know, it was always the Russians. Like any fucking movie, any terrorist, anything else like that, it was Russian. And then previous to that, it was always the Nazis. And then, like, if you read any Tom Clancy stuff, it was the Russian or the Korean. In fact, speaking of Ubisoft, right, like if you guys played any of the Ghost Recon stuff, it's always the Koreans, right? And so now I'm starting to notice more in media, obviously movies, but now it's really trickling into video games, is extremism being the villain. And I don't necessarily think I have a problem with extremism being a villain, but I feel like it normalizes this to a certain extent. I think unless there's an incredible amount of nuance, which I don't believe most video games are capable of, in sort of dissecting that kind of thing, I think that you can paint extremism in a light that almost feels redeemable. Like if you guys look at comic books, for instance, you know, you'll see people that'll say like a villain, a good villain is one that doesn't think that he's a villain, and they want to try and make, you know, the villain's angle sympathetic or something else like that. I don't think that you can do that with video games. I don't think you should ever have a sympathetic angle for extremism and hate and things like that.
No.
But at the same time, if you also play it as just blind evil, then your storytelling falls apart. But I'm starting to really – it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few years if this is the kind of thing – because we saw it in BioShock, right? And particularly with Infinite, some of these ideologies taken to their extreme. And now if we're making those people our video game villains and our movie villains and our comic villains and everything else like that, then people are going to go, this is normal and this is the way of the world. And I feel like that's something that we absolutely have to push back against, because and maybe that's partially because video games need to have, or media in general needs to have, an easy villain, right? Like if you're fighting Nazis,
there's nothing to explain. You understand the Nazi. You understand why this is bad. In the 80s, if it was the Russians, you understood because of the Cold War and everything else like that, that this stuff was bad. When you look at like the news right now, the fact that so many people are not disturbed by the fact that people in our government have apparently had a back channel to Russia and that there's obstruction of justice and everything else like that, people are pushing this kind of stuff under the rug. And I, so I feel like if in our entertainment and our media and the stuff that we consume, if we make those people sort of the crackerjack villains, then people are going to eventually go, this is normal, and we're going to become even more desensitized to the way the world is working as vis-a-vis how that extremism works, and that it's something that's okay and that should exist. And that's where my issue lies.
Yeah, for me, you know, I understand your point about maybe making this sort of the regular old generic type villain. But at the same time, if you get a really talented development team that understands the nuances, that understands the problems that they're facing in trying to portray these types of extremist views as they are, it could shine a light on it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. We'll see. I'm curious to see how it'll work. But I would love to keep talking to you guys. I got to go, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. You guys be good. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Lee.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend.
Yep. So,
yeah, with this, they sort of talk a lot about the Soviet Union stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about remembering this sort of crushing weight of the Soviet Union being able to potentially just drop a nuke on them. It sort of talks about how that dissipated with the fall of the Berlin Wall. Sort of sets up this particular era of the game as being sort of modern times, but starting with the subprime mortgage loan crisis of the 2008.
Hmm.
Sort of people thinking at that time, like, where's the government helping us protect our assets? Where are the people who are watching what's going on? Where are the people holding the reins of this and protecting us?
Yeah.
And sort of going from there, as this features a cult called Eden's Gate, a doomsday cult,
mm-hmm.
that has seized upon this town in Montana, which obviously, as we know, is a part of the country where there's just lots of empty space. They're yeah. kind of on their own for yeah. the most part. And so this guy, Joseph, the father's seed, supposedly says he's had a voice spoken to him to save as many people before this doomsday happens. And so they've led a long campaign of intimidation, recruitment, and aggressive land acquisition in the hopes of having an armed takeover of Hope County, Montana.
Hmm.
Which is pretty interesting for a Far Cry game.
It's a really good setup, but it's
I don't
think it's unusual for that team to go in that kind of a direction. I mean, Far Cry 3, you had you basically started off with a bunch of completely unlikable protagonists, and the real star of that game was Voss,
who
was just butt fucking nuts.
Yeah,
and yet there was just something about him, you know.
It's like a Joker type situation.
Yeah, they're really good with characters. Same thing with Far Cry 4, although I didn't spend a lot of time with that one. I should have, but anyways.
Yeah, it's neat that they're going with this route. We know they don't necessarily have the chops to do the nuance, because a lot of it is just, the white guy invades this brown person country and saves them from the evil brown person. And like, okay, that's kind of racist.
Kind of, maybe, but
having all these rich white people just, they're there because they're fucking rich and they can just party wherever the hell they want. Find out, it's all these crazy people here that want to kill us.
Yeah. The whole crazy religious thing is actually kind of, I think it started this year with Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I'm optimistic about Far Cry 5 because I think that team there in Montreal is really good with characters. So,
And the great irony of this happening right as the whole Gianforte thing in Montana, where he chokeslams a reporter, somehow still wins the the vote.
Yeah. I don't think that was related, but it was great timing for...
Yeah.
Or poor timing, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Some of the stuff they talked about gameplay-wise, it's obviously playable solo, but you can play the whole game with two-player co-op, which is nice. That's a nice change of pace. Along with it, you're sort of building the resistance against the cult.
Mm-hmm.
And you can recruit people, which they call this Guns for Hire. You meet a variety of people. They have trailers for each of the first three they've revealed. There's a woman that runs the bar. There's the former pastor of the church who all of his people got taken away from him.
Hmm.
And Nick Rye, who is he's the son of a soldier. I was supposedly going to go into the Air Force, but chickened out, I guess. But now he gets a second chance at redemption.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, you'll be able to fly airplanes as well.
Hmm.
Which is kind of a weird concept. We're going to fucking have dogfights over Montana with a cult.
Hey.
Yeah.
We're going to, like, you know, go big.
Can't say that way. Isn't new.
No. Yeah. You'll also be able to hire animals. It's a weird thing, like, have them tag along with you, like bears and deer and shit.
Well, they kind of played with that on Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was more riding elephants.
Yeah.
Shit. But... They also have the map editors coming back, so people will be able to make maps and different scenarios and stuff to share with others. And I guess also you'll be able to decide the race and gender of your character.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of the new policeman that come into town just as things are starting to go bad.
Hmm.
You're not playing a defined character then.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good.
Which is probably good because their last couple have not been great. Sort of the white guy that goes through the tribalism stuff to become the white savior of the brown people. It's not a great look.
Yeah, that was a little.
Especially when they show that directly on E3.
Yeah, that was a bit questionable.
Yeah.
So.
The last one, 4, wasn't too bad.
Mm.
He was a sort of former refugee of that area.
Yeah.
Sort of came back to. I don't know what. The whole story was, I forget. I guess his mom died and wanted to lay her ashes back at the home place.
Yeah.
But you could finish the game 15 minutes just by doing that, pretty much.
Yeah, which in itself is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like all you do is just wait for the main guy to come back. It's like, okay, let's go do this.
Yeah.
And over.
How many games do that? I mean, really?
Not many. So,
yeah.
It's like, oh, you just listened to the bad guy for once, and it went okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then they went out and had beer or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Doesn't
yeah. How many games do you start off, and it's like, oh, go, don't go, run off and do this adventure. And you go and do it, and that's how you do it.
Yeah.
Well, they told you not to do the thing.
Yeah. Oh, you actually listened.
Okay. You did the thing.
Yeah. So we'll wait and see on that. You know, I have high hopes, as I do for most Far Cry games. So
yeah, it's at least a strong start for them.
Yep.
Look forward to seeing that at E3 and seeing actual gameplay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Probably featured quite prominently at the Ubisoft show.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Now that they don't have, now that Wildlands is out, they're not going to be showing that.
Yeah.
So. All right, so we got some Capcom stories here, so let's get into these. The long-awaited Street Fighter V Season 2 patch.
Yes.
And alongside that, Ed will be released. He's coming out Tuesday.
Yep.
This is the patch with the much-anticipated CFN 2.0 update.
And the balance changes.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tuesday, you're going to get your hands on that. Looking forward to it?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm just loving all of the changes they're making to Geef.
Yeah, it's going back to actual Street Fighter now instead of being watered down as they did before. And it's not just, you know, balance tweak. There's also new moves and stuff in there too. So it's, you know, a lot of good stuff happening there.
A proper follow up, like this is what kind of takes the place of a potential Super Street Fighter V.
Yeah. So, cool. What else we got here? Oh yeah, Monster Hunter Double X coming to Switch in Japan August 25th.
Cool.
With crossplay support, apparently, somehow.
Yep.
Good to see this game back on console.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this is the end of it on console, if they're not going to also put it on PS4 since that is picking up Steam in Japan.
I would hope so.
I think Monster Hunter has kind of become a Nintendo franchise in the last couple of years. So.
Yeah, there are rumors of it coming to PS4. Yeah.
Cool. I certainly wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to the extent of remastering it for Switch, might as well get the extra money and put it on PS4 as well.
Go to the biggest installed base.
Especially in the West.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, hey, don't ignore that 40, 50 million people that are out in the other half of the world.
Yeah. And another Capcom story. Boy, we haven't seen this one in a while. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is coming to PS4, Xbox One this fall. Yeah.
As a fifth anniversary project.
Yeah.
That went fast.
This game is... It's one of those I've always wanted to play and never got around to.
You going to get around to it now?
I think I kind of have to now.
Cool.
I think I really do. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if this is the one that gets them to finally do a sequel. Because I tried that on the PC. It seemed to do pretty well, but nothing came of it. Now we got another chance.
Yeah, you put it on PS4, I think you're probably going to get some pickup on that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good stuff from Capcom so far. So, I'm liking what they're doing. So, another things, Raiden 5, Director's Cut. Ooh, that's cool. Coming to Switch this fall. Hopefully it comes out on other...
Oh, no.
PS4,
not
PC.
PS4, well, I skipped lines. PS4, PC.
That game's going to look gorgeous on PS4.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see, they're touting extreme graphics. Full 1080p support. Though, I guess it was already released on Xbox One, so it's not too much of a improvement. But let's see, TriView HUD just has lots of information on the screen. I'm guessing to put in the sides.
Yeah.
Two-player local co-op. I guess that wasn't there before. That's weird.
Yeah, that should have been, but...
Fully narrated storyline. Just what you want in your shmups.
Yeah.
Some new ships. And a health bar.
instead of exploding immediately.
Yeah. And they're going to include a 22-track soundtrack with the PS4 retail version.
Oh.
Cool.
Oh, God, I looked at screenshots. Yeah, they put tons of information on this.
Yeah.
So scroll
all
down.
All of the info is on those screens.
Here's these line charts. I don't know what they mean. I assume if it's going up, that means good things are happening.
Wow. So it's a shmup and a spreadsheet. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's the video screen of the story as it's barked at you while you're trying not to get hit by the bullets. There's a bunch of colored text. I don't know what they say.
Yeah.
It's probably more of the story if you can read. But if you're reading it, you're probably not doing well.
Yeah.
It's true.
There's like 15 gameplay bars. There's a couple circles for shields, flash,
my God.
Different weapons.
Okay, I'm going to have to get this game just to see how just bonkers it is trying to play that with all that info being just...
At least the screenshot's two people, so there's all these extra bars.
I think generally speaking, people are not going to be paying attention to that shit on the sides anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. The feature I'd like to know is whether you can rotate it 90 degrees. Because,
That is a thing.
Yeah. I would assume so.
Yeah. Well, especially on PC. My monitor,
yeah, a lot of shmups do that.
90. Yeah. So, that's what I want. I'm sure that'll be an option. It is in Raiden 4, so
yeah,
yeah. Gonna check this out. I like me some Raiden, or Raiden.
Yeah. There you go.
What else we got? Yeah, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2 coming to Switch in the fall. Also,
and they're adding local multiplayer motion controls for all your Dragon Ball Z fun.
No thanks. I just think it's too bad that everyone who already wanted this game bought it on PS4 or Xbox One.
Yeah. That's about all there is to say about that.
Yeah, it seems like when their only added features is local multiplayer, you don't have much to add.
Nope, not much to add.
Especially when not mentioning all the DLC as well.
Yeah, well, I would imagine that seems probably like, be included. So.
Maybe. Mm. That depends on what Namco wants to do.
Yeah. Well, they're usually good at doing that. Just playing it. So, next up, we got El Shaddai's director announcing The Lost Child for PS4 and Vita.
Turn-based JRPG.
Yep.
Welcome.
We're getting a lot of those on the PS4 and the Vita, so I got no problem with this. It's probably not one I'll be playing, but hey.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a lot of good. Brandon is playing one who's pretty good and whose name I can't pronounce, so I'm not even going to try.
Utoware Mono.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, the Rare Mono Japanese game.
The Rare Mono. Yeah.
Yeah, this one's connected to El Shaddai. Includes one of the characters. So it's some sort of follow-up.
Yeah. Not direct the sequel, game. But...
Yeah.
Spin-off of some sort.
Yeah, the original game was kind of more of an action RPG kind of game. Mm. So it's a bit of a change of pace for them.
Cool. What else we got here? Yeah. Okay, Darkest Dungeon is getting its expansion pack, The Crimson Court. Out 6/19, June 19th on PC, July on the PS4. No word yet whether King Crimson will be doing the soundtrack or not. Silence.
Me.
In the court of the Crimson King. Never mind.
Sometimes you just gotta let him land.
So, that's a thing that's happening. Darkest Dungeon is, of course, a game that Brandon has played quite a bit. It's one of those roguelike type games that does a good job of kind of capturing the crazy shit that would go on in dungeons and how it would affect the party. So they develop neuroses and all that kind of weird stuff. I need to play this game. It looks like something I would really enjoy, and I've never had time to try it.
So. Yeah, if you want a good case of depression, that's a good game to play.
Okay.
Or a gore one, I don't know. But either way. This looks good.
$10. Seems to add a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So, all right, well, let's keep going. Finally, next up... Well, not finally. We've still got a long ways to go. With E3 coming up next week, one of the things that EA is going to be featuring on their press event is NBA Live 18. Now, that series is taking...
Oh, dear.
It's taken a break for the last couple of years, I believe.
I think it's 1 year.
Last year it took a break, yeah.
It's kind of like having that buddy that keeps getting back with his ex, and you know how it's going to end, but you kind of just stay off on the sidelines and say, okay, you do you.
And it's like, oh, I'm gonna get rid of her by the All-Star break. That's when we're going to get this out. And they decided to push it for the full season, and now it's going to come out in the fall. Yeah. Also on this list of stuff they're going to have at E3, it's all the usual Star Wars Battlefront 2. FIFA Madden, the new Need for Speed, which they call it the latest Need for Speed experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sims 4 is going to be there. Battlefield 1 DLC, new stuff for their mobile game Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, Titanfall 2, Madden Mobile, NBA Live Mobile, and EA Sports FIFA on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, I love how they're not actually putting a year to it. They're just calling it.
We know how this is probably going to go, so we'll just let this be the FIFA game for this system and slowly back away.
EA Sports FIFA, contractually obligated edition.
Yeah.
Kind of what it seems like at this
point. It really is.
Yeah. I kind of hope that it sells well and does, nicely for EA, because maybe then that'll, encourage them to keep making games for the Switch, which would encourage other companies to keep making games for the Switch, which would encourage the Switch to not die.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a thing that we hope happens. As for NBA Live, well, okay, it's taken a year off. Maybe that's for the better. Maybe it will come back and it'll be, you know, a good competition for the NBA 2K series. Of course, I could just be talking out of my ass, but,
yeah,
you know.
I think I've already made my prediction known.
Yeah, you did, but hey.
Yeah, I know Take-Two only has NBA 2K and WWE 2K free through. That's it. Everything else.
They really need to ramp up their 2K line again.
Yeah, well, baseball they can't do because Sony's got that locked up.
That's not really locked up. It's just 2K did the third-party exclusivity deal that just bled money for them.
Yeah.
I think they were losing something like $30 million a year off of that deal. It's like, oh, you screwed yourselves just to get back at EA. It's a great job there.
I think at this point we're at a place where Sony's doing so well with baseball that we don't really need another game.
Yeah, except if you like to play baseball and you own a PC or any other platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you're
kind of there's Super Mega Baseball 2, I think, is coming out sometime this fall.
Yeah.
So that's,
you know, if you like your
a decent alternative.
Baseball, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But
if you want something sim-like, you don't really have a lot of options.
Yeah, it's definitely not RBI Baseball.
No.
That game's bad.
No, that's not good. Yeah. All right, so moving on. Michel Ancel says we're not going to see Beyond Good and Evil 2 at E3, but it'll show up later. We promise.
Yeah. Yeah, he responded on his Instagram, which seems to be his best place of direct contact.
Mm-hmm.
He responded to somebody asking on there, not sure that E3 would be the best place to showcase BGE 2, but we're working on the game, so sometime this year you should hear about it. Exclamation point.
My guess is that BG at E2 will probably be the one more thing that Yves Guillemot does every year.
Yeah.
You know. He can
it doesn't really say well of it if they genuinely aren't confident in showing it at E3.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for, you know, showing the game at the right time, but the right
E3
time
is the right time.
E3, so, yeah, show it. Or,
well, they got Gamescom as well for their, since that's more of a European focus for them.
Yeah.
Eh.
Well, we actually mentioned last year that there really isn't a set time that you have to make announcements. Basically, the entire summer with E3, Gamescom, Paris Game Show, TGS. You can kind of spread it out there, so
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, there's no break in game releases. There shouldn't be any breaks in announcement release.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, because I think his Wild game was also announced at Gamescom.
Wait and see there. I'm going to go out on a limb and bet that we do see it. And he's just kind of saying that so people will be surprised. Yeah, anyway. What else we got? Oh, yeah. So, Yu Saito and his team are apparently maybe working on
possibly
a new Seaman game. Maybe, kind of, possibly. Perhaps.
And they just posted on their Twitter a picture of the team with shirts that have the Seaman logo on it, as well as Don't Panic, and a URL for Seaman.ai, which is an under construction site. So it's not showing whatever it could.
Yeah. Not really anything there right now, but
Now would be the time to do it. I mean, microphones on consoles are ubiquitous now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this would
you don't
be
have to
an
pack
actually
one in.
An absolutely ideal Kinect game.
It's too bad Kinect is dead.
Too bad Kinect is dead. that's a problem.
There's also
contact
email.
Microsoft can't seem to bury that one fast enough.
man. But if you really think about it, though, you know, Seaman would be a pretty good game to get to get back into, and it would, you know, fit in line with this new amazing Sega rebranding that they've just
made. Yeah, if you can just plug in a headset and use that, that would be pretty good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Avoid the issue of just supplying really shitty microphone like they did in the original.
Oh, yeah, that thing was awful.
Yeah. It did get the job done, but, you know.
True.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Sort of. So part of me wonders just what the hell the semen was hearing from me when I was playing it. It's like... yeah, especially since most people like didn't actually bring it up to their mouth to speak into it. They would just kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, so good luck hearing anything with there. But yeah, if this is the kind of direction that this new Sega is going, then I love... what they're doing, because Seaman is pretty obscure. It's a franchise. Went one game, so it's not really a franchise. But it's something that a lot of people have very fond memories of, even though it wasn't exactly the greatest game ever.
Yeah.
I think that's not the diplomatic way of putting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a shame that Leonard Nimoy is gone.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. You gotta get Neil deGrasse Tyson or maybe Bill Nye to do the narrative. Oh, fuck yes, get Bill Nye.
What about Stephen Fry?
Stephen Fry, yeah. He might be good for that, too. Yeah, so.
I think Neil deGrasse Tyson's working on his own game.
Oh, yeah.
What would that be?
I don't know, I saw something about him working on a game.
Yeah. So. Anyways. Yeah, so hopefully we're excited for this, question mark? I mean...
Yeah! Gosh, yeah!
Yeah.
I won't buy it, but it needs to be a thing.
Oh, I would buy the heck out of it.
Yeah. Oh, pretty well.
Yeah. There's no question there.
Yeah.
Me and my crazy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Neil deGrasse Tyson presents Space Odyssey.
Hmm. Oh, that's kind of cool.
So let's be shown at E3.
Really?
Right. We'll have to make a note to check that one out.
And it says 15 days, 8 hours, 12 minutes, 30 seconds.
Nice.
Danrib, you know what to do.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're going to probably show it at the PC Gaming Expo, the PC Gaming Show.
Probably.
And release a beta right then, because that's what it's talking about here.
Okay. Cool.
Be a part of the early beta release to help Dr. Tyson shape his online gaming universe.
Ooh.
I'm going to sign up right now.
All right.
And we can actually hear the typing. That's great.
So, all right. In other news, Microsoft is renaming their Beam streaming service to Mixer, and they're adding cooperative streaming, which is really, really cool.
Yes.
Also, it's worth pointing out that Beam, or Mixer as it's going to be known now, is not limited to the Xbox One. You can stream from pretty much anything to it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, we got a Smashpad account on there, though I got to level it up. It's a weird thing. You stream or you watch other stuff stream. I got 10 points from this Neil deGrasse Tyson thing. I don't know what that is. It just made noises.
Okay.
On 6,650 on the leaderboards. Okay. I got to get to the top.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so when it... So with Mixer and, I guess, formerly Beam, as you stream and watch other streams, you get Sparks, which is sort of their currency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, you level up. I don't know what you get from the levels. I tried looking up what the level unlocks are, and they don't mention anything. They say you unlock stuff, like new features, but it doesn't mention what those are.
Hmm.
So I don't know what that's all about, but we're like level 13 already. Because I just let it sit on a stream all morning while I was working on the list.
Hmm.
And we got like 1,000... Sparks.
Okay.
We need 5,000 to create a team, so we could have everybody here sort of do their own stream since they off the co-op
Yeah.
stream thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. when you look at the stuff that Beam is doing, and you look at Twitch, there's some parity there with what they've got going on. But I think the execution here is a lot better, personally. From a technical standpoint, this four person stream is Twitch doesn't do that. They don't.
No.
And the co-op streaming could be a game changer.
Yeah. You don't actually have to be streaming the same game. I should point that out.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good for, like, if you're playing co-op with people, so you can see their different feeds instead of saying, hey, go over to their channel.
That's true.
It's also a boon for, like, small esports establishments there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you got, let's say you were doing something at LFU, you could be, streaming.
Fusion Lounge.
Fusion Lounge. Yeah. Why do you like the LFU? Anyway.
Well, they're still a thing. It's just not really an event venue at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, Jeff Gerstmann streams through Beam, the now Mixer. Mm. But yeah, like here, I just went to the managed channel screen. It's like, stream setup. Pick what you want to stream with. It'll tell you the information you need, like your stream key and all that, and seems to make it pretty simple.
Yeah, I love that they're not restricting platforms. Okay, great, they're building it into the Xbox One, so that's going to be the easiest way to
stream. Yeah, there's a new section on the dashboard now. It says Mixer.
Yep.
So now if you want to go to the store, it's another section you have to scroll through.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's I love the features. I love that they're opening a studio in New York City for streamers. That's going to be it's not unlike what Amazon and Twitch have been doing. So, they really want to compete in this space, and technically they've got the chops to do it. So let's see how it works. If you haven't tried it yet, though, give it a shot with your next stream. You'll probably find that you like it. The interface is just way better than Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it seems like their big thing is there's less latency from what you do to what they see.
Yeah, that I noticed right away.
Yeah, though they call it FTL streaming, and it's like, that's bullshit lie right there.
It's not fast. Light streaming? No, I don't think so.
It's our faster than light technology. It's like, no,
I wish.
Yeah.
You're just not putting the bullshit in there to delay it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Twitch does either. I just think that Twitch's infrastructure sucks.
Yeah.
That's basically what I think that is. When you got a company that started out with the specific intent of making a streaming service that it was as low latency as possible, you can build it out that way.
Yeah. But
Twitch didn't start that way. It started as Justin TV. So...
Yep.
And got all that game stuff added onto it.
So, yeah. Anyways. God, this Neil deGrasse Tyson thing is fucking influencer Kickstarter.
Because
it's like, here's how many fans we need to get to this goal. And they got referral links. If you refer people, you get points. Oh, if you get at least 100 points, you get entered to win a personalized in-game star and early access to the beta version. If you get over 500 points, you get entered to win a signed memorabilia from Neil, personalized in-game star and early access to beta version.
Do all of our marketing for us, please.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's working.
Yeah.
We just talked about it.
Because they made a leaderboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, so.
Oh, here's my friends list. Connect with Facebook. Fuck you.
Yeah. So another Microsoft news, long anticipated by some people, Xbox Game Pass is launching June 1st. If you're Xbox Live Gold, you actually have access to it now. I can go check that out. It's basically you have a selection of games and you download them and you play them. It's really that simple.
Yeah. $10 a month if you want to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 14-day trial.
Yep.
I looked at the list and compared it to what I own digitally on all my platforms. There's 27 I didn't own. So it's not a service I should bother with.
Probably not, at least not at this point.
Yeah. Big one they seem to have, it's like the big anchor is Halo 5.
Yeah.
Which, as Phil can attest to, is not one you're going to be able to download all that quickly.
No. 96 gigs.
Yeah.
What? Damn.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But still, I think Soul Calibur 2 is on there, so I'll probably do the 14-day trial, download that, and play the crap out of that, and then decide if I want to buy it some more.
Yeah.
Or I could just buy it for $10.
Yeah. It seems like a great offer for people that primarily get their stuff used at GameStop.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just going to pick up, you know, something there like every month, you can just get this and have access to a couple Lego games, a bunch of rare stuff, Mega Man, a bunch of old Sega stuff, Streets of Rage and some of those things. Hmm. All sorts of different things. But also like all the Gears games, except for 4.
Yeah,
of course. War.
Perfect Dark, BioShock.
That's weird that Gears of War 4 isn't on there. No, wait.
I think that's probably...
They're still trying to sell it.
Yeah, they're still trying to sell it. I remember like they had Gears of War Ultimate on there. That's what I was thinking of, because that was pretty...
Yeah, that's on there.
Yeah.
So. You get two versions of Gears 1.
Yeah, you can have the 360 version or the remastered one. So.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, give it a shot. I mean, I hope that they continue to support this and they keep rolling out games on a weekly basis at the very least.
I think they have to.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't just release it with 100 games and then just leave it there. It's not going to be worth a heck of a lot if you do that.
Yeah.
It's going to depend on how quickly games get added to it. You know, if a new release comes out and it gets added a couple of months later, then yeah, that's a very, very worthwhile thing to have for $10 a month.
Yeah.
You know. But
it'll be interesting to see if anything comes down, like a Netflix.
Yeah.
So I'd be curious to see how that goes.
Yeah, if it's saved to your system and they remove it.
Yeah, because I went through that with the...
Controversial.
The preview program version of it. I had Hexic 2 download because there's like two games I didn't own.
Yeah.
It's like Hexic 2 and something else, I forget. It's like, I've never played Hexic 2. I tried it out, got a couple achievements, left it on there and tried to start it. I was like, you don't own this anymore. It's like, oh, okay. So, but what was weird was with the preview program version, you could just keep adding months to it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, if they somehow forget to take this down, I have it for free until August.
Yeah, but I didn't.
Yeah.
they shut that down very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so this adds another weird layer of ownership on the Xbox.
Yeah.
With games sold, the Game Pass, potentially EA Access, and full ownership.
Yeah,
just rent all of the things.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because
to be fair, though, if you're Xbox Game Pass member, you do get discounts on buying these.
Yeah. So I have a weird situation with the crew. I just noticed this recently. So I bought the complete edition when the complete edition included that first expansion, not the second one that they released last year. I think it was.
Yeah.
And so when I go on there now, it says, okay, you own this. But if I go to click on it, go to the store, it says, hey, you want to pay $30 and own this forever? So there's weird layership.
Because
it recognizes that I own the complete edition bundle. So it gives me the game and the season pass. But it doesn't necessarily recognize that I own the base version as well.
Yeah, you probably report that. That's one of the things that they would really probably need to know about. Yeah, so, anyways.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they had a way to just see your ownership of any particular item. So it can be, like, clearly explained instead of just, like, well, I'm going to go check and see if I actually own this or not, because I can go look up my purchase history and see it on there.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to know that for, like, games with gold games. Be able to tell, okay, this one's one I got from gold, this one I purchased before it went on gold or something like that. Be able to better have, like, a chain of command on that stuff, sort of see.
Yeah, at least like a badge on the icon or something that indicates what it came from, you know.
Yeah, that's why it's nice on the PS4, because you can tell anything that has an expiration date on it that I don't own.
Yeah,
everything else I own.
Yeah. So, all right. Moving on, we got in RPG news, Divinity Original Sin 2 coming out on PC the 14th of September. Going to have a Game Master mode, so you can host campaigns for your friends and kill them all.
Yep. Yeah, this is it's pretty cool. It's obviously coming from our friend Kevin Vaynord, who's working over there with them doing the writing on this game. He's excited that it actually has a date now so people can go buy it. He told me to buy multiple copies after I told him I'd back the Kickstarter. So let's just go buy for other people. It's like, I don't have the money for that. If you want to tell everybody else to stop releasing their games around that time, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't think you're going to convince Activision and Sony and everybody else to go fuck off.
Yeah.
But yeah, that the Game Master mode looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you had the people for it, at least.
Yeah.
Just the way they were showing it off, I was reading about this. Essentially, they had five laptops at this table. Sort of one person's the Game Master and the other four are the four people in the campaign. They were kind of exactly using a D&D campaign as the basis for it. So they got the license from them to be able to make this easier to set up.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the person was the Game Master was actually using dice and such to make the decisions. Which I don't know if they don't have an in-game dice to roll. I would assume they do.
They do. They were just they were just using it just because they could.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a pretty cool way to do co-op.
Yeah.
Especially since I think there's been one game that was trying to do that sort of thing, and I'm assuming it didn't sell that well. I forget what it was called.
Yeah, was that Forgotten Realms game, I think?
Yeah, it came out on PS4 and Xbox One and PC.
Yeah, it was on sale like recently. I almost bought it. I can't remember what it was now. Oh, well.
Well, you got this game to buy now instead.
So, Final Fantasy 15 news. Update has added added a survey for fans to tell Square what they want next.
Yeah. It has a bunch of like story content stuff if you want to tell them to do that or add more playable characters, hard difficulty mode, upgrades, that sort of stuff.
Existing choices.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
it's not like no fix your damn game.
Well, technically it is fix your damn game, but it's like what do we fix first?
Yeah.
Is basically what this is boiling down to. I don't know. I kind of like that approach, given that they've only got a certain amount of resources, and polling the community to see what's important to them is not a bad way of going about it. Unfortunately, it's still Final Fantasy 15 at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Blah. I know Teresa.
Yeah, unless ATB is one of the choices.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah. You know, I'll borrow it from the library again, but I'm not paying for that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured it was as much.
Not close.
So. Okay. Well, good luck, Final Fantasy 15. that's about all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
So we talked about this, I think, last week or the week before. IO Interactive is basically going up for sale, it's looking like. In preparation for that, it looks like they're laying off many people.
Yeah. Yeah, they say on their Twitter today at IOI, we had to make some changes to our studio, which allow us to be better equipped for our future adventures. We're sad that great talent and good friends will be leaving the studio. We're doing everything possible to look after everyone affected. Thank you for your support and understanding. What's nice is right below the tweet is a bunch of studios sort of saying, hey, we got open positions. Like people that are around that area, like Remedy, Paradox, 11-Bit Studios.
Yeah. We saw this with THQ as well. The game industry is really good at taking care of their own.
Yeah. Yep. So, but did they really start their tweet with IOI?
Yeah, IO Interactive.
I'm pretty sure Teresa would understand the reference here. No? Nobody?
No, I would if my brain was working. Oh.
The evil corporation in that book.
Also, it looks like it says LOL.
Yeah. Anyways.
Whoops.
Yeah, well.
LOL, people lost their jobs.
Whoopsies.
God.
Okay. Well, we wish the folks at IO who got laid off the best. I know there's a lot of studios who are looking for talent, and yeah, they'll pretty sure they'll land on their feet.
Yeah.
Especially when there's what am I trying to say? Yeah, when there's prior notice.
Oh yeah.
And studios lining up to to take them on. So
yeah.
So that's good. Yeah. So we got some absolutely shocking news. I would never have seen this ever come happening. Red Dead Redemption 2 has been delayed.
Wow.
Yeah. I think we reported that when it was announced.
Yeah, it was. this is another instance of us being right immediately. This should really not surprise anybody. Why it surprised people is something I will not understand. It's a Rockstar game. It's a Red Dead game. Yes, it's going to get delayed. So, yeah.
The only question is... They're saying spring 2018. The only question remaining is, does it get delayed again? I think so.
Yes. I don't think it comes out before fall 2018. So I'm just going to say that right now.
I know. You can look at these screenshots and see why. It's like, oh, here's a guy dual-wielding pistols, and you see like imperfections modeled into the gun.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, oh.
I'm not saying that like they're delaying it because they're screwing around over there. I mean,
they kind of are. They're screwing around putting in stuff they don't need to.
Wow, they want to make a.
We don't need these small little dents in this hammer on the gun because that makes it look like it's been used before.
Yeah.
Because it's only something you can tell because I'm looking at this fucking screenshot. Somebody's hands holding these guns.
Yeah. Still, I mean.
Yeah,
stuff that they're doing does look gorgeous, and you know, I want to play this game. I will definitely be buying it because I liked the first Red Dead. I borrowed it from my brother-in-law, and it's like, yeah, this game's good. So yeah, so in spring 2018, we'll be reporting on its delay to fall of 2018. So
nice,
look out for that. Yeah, Cliff Bleszinski's Lawbreakers is coming to the PS4 later this year for $30, or $30 if you don't speak French.
Looks pretty interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, Cliff Bleszinski's new shooter looks pretty darn cool.
And the fanboys are going nuts, at least the Microsoft ones. Mad that it's not coming to Xbox One.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you own him forever. He's not supposed to look at any other platforms.
I don't think Cliff Bleszinski has actually worked for Epic for quite a while now, so
no.
Let's point that out.
No, but they own the concept of Cliffy B.
Which is why he like bristles at anybody referring to him as that anymore. So, yeah.
I like the way that Giant Bomb refers to him as Young Clifford.
Young Clifford. Oh, jeez.
That's great.
Yeah.
Like, they were making fun of him when he wanted to stop being called Cliffy B. So they called him Young Clifford.
Instead, yeah. Which is not much better, honestly.
No, they're just poking fun at him.
Yeah. Well, he's quite the character, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting they're getting away from the free-to-play thing they were initially aiming at for this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
so. See how well they do.
Well, that could, I mean, not putting your game behind the free-to-play it's a little risky because you're going to miss out on a lot of, you know, a lot of casual adoption.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have the freedom to make the kind of game that you want. You don't have to put it behind gates. You don't have to do microtransactions if you don't want to.
Yeah.
So in the end, I think this could probably end up benefiting them.
Yeah, he says here, we don't want to fragment our player base with siloed season pass BS, nor do we want to pollute matchmaking with pay-to-win incentives.
Hmm.
Want to create a game ecosystem that's all about highly skilled players competing on even playing the field.
Best thing he said in years.
Yeah, so I'm all for that. I'm also all for seeing, you know, old-school style shooters coming back.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As the second golden age of that.
Yeah, we got this coming out. Strafe just came out, which I need to pick up because it looks amazing. What else we got?
Quake Champions.
Yep. John Romero's Black Room, if we ever see that happen.
Mm.
I shouldn't be, you know, I shouldn't be down on John Romero at this point because I think he has learned his lesson. So,
yeah.
A lot of good stuff. And speaking of good stuff, we're going to end this. Sonic Mania's new trailer announces an August 15th release date.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is the Sonic game we have been waiting for a long time.
Ever since, I'm going to be buying it at least twice.
Okay.
Once for the Switch, once for the PS4.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I think PS4 is probably going to be where I'm going to be going for my Sonicking. I'm using the Xbox One less and less lately. It's amazing. I don't know why. Probably because it's so goddamn slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is a real concern. I don't know if you guys who have the Xbox One have really noticed it, but even with the speed updates that they've done, sometimes it just kind of just chugs along.
Drags.
Does nothing.
I've also found downloads over there choking my bandwidth, so I can't do anything else, which pisses me off.
They've got the exact opposite problem of the PS4, where a PS4's downloads are slow as shit. And the Xbox One downloads will saturate your bandwidth completely. It'll even, if you go to the download section, it will actually show you how much megabits it's downloading at. And it's usually going to peg your connection.
Yeah, there's no throttling option, is there?
I suspect that's coming.
Not on the system.
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I do with Steam. Because I would always not be paying attention, just browsing the internet. I know when pages start taking too long, it's like, fuck, I look down at the icon, there's the green filling up, saying it's fucking downloading shit.
Yeah.
That's why I turned that off.
Yeah. Sonic Mania, August 15th, PS4, I think Xbox One? Question mark? Yes, and Switch.
Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Oh, PC too. That's even better.
Yeah, this supposedly comes from the Steam page.
Nice. So yeah, we have a program more or less done for the week. My brain has just melted into a pile of gelatinous goo at this point.
Just in time for E3.
Yes, just in time for E3.
It's E3 that does it.
Yeah, I've got my gelatinous goo early.
You're pre-gaming.
Year. Yeah. So if you like my rambling things, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, and your favorite RSS reader, if you happen to still use one of those. We've also got a Facebook page at facebook.com/DejaRoUpdate and facebook.com/MassBadSocial. We may eventually post there again. We don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, we got YouTube.
Yeah, we got youtube.com/SmashPad and smashpad.com, and we're all over the internets. Yeah. Yes. Some of us are on Twitter. We occasionally post there as well. So you should be able to find us pretty easily.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So with that, I'm Felipe Denofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Chris Sologi.
I'm Teresa Sammons.
And we'll see
you. And Lee's gone.
Yeah, Lee's gone. We'll see you next week.